In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, today's show is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. All right, Kloop, here we go. I'm back from the waste management in Phoenix. I took Monday off. My whole schedule screwed up. I made obligations for Wednesday. It turned out that my Wednesday was actually the real Thursday, so I missed a ton of stuff.
Three brain cells left.
You know what that's like when you take a Monday off and nothing's going right.
I hear you, man. And then tomorrow we're sitting here on the verge of a pretty big snowstorm.
Kloop, what's going on with this storm? This is literally the first time, well, the second I'm hearing about it. Zach just told me about it.
Alex had no idea.
I'm not a big weather guy. I'm not Saban.
Well, you're not a current events guy, but we got a storm called Nico, I believe, is coming in. It's coming in hot tomorrow morning. It's going to be snowfall day. The schools have been canceled up in my neck of the woods. I don't know about down there, but we're bracing. We're bracing. I went to the grocery store today. Everyone's freaking out. So I'm going to shelter in place all day.
So you're bracing for the worst up there in CT, huh?
Yeah, I'll be in the basement, warm. Hope to God that the satellite dish doesn't go out, and I can actually monitor things kind of live for the podcast listeners.
You're our man.
To do that,
you're our man on the ground in the eye of the storm. So, in completely regardless of the impending snow doom that's hitting the Northeast, I was gonna have snow day as something we rate in this week's installment of 0 to 100. So it seems very apropos.
I agree. I've thought a lot. I put it in the email today. We can discuss it when the time comes, whether it's more exciting to get snow as a young adult or as a kid.
Kloop, there's no contest.
Save it.
Kloop, we observed in the last version of 0 to 100 that basically your entire life revolves around just avoiding work. Like, you had the cold at 55, the common cold at 55.
Right above HBO.
Right above HBO, because with the cold comes the prospect of potentially catching a half day off.
Well, look, I don't really want to go into that.
You're a work-to-live kind of guy.
Not a Clydesdale.
They're never going to say, yay, Chris Lupica, first in the office, last to leave.
That's not going to be on your tombstone.
Yeah, what they might say, they'll say, you know, he's a grinder, he works, but, you know, he's not going to kill himself for this company. So I'm a company man to a point, and let's just leave it there. Let's leave it there.
God, I'm excited to get you hooked up on the new equipment, so it doesn't sound like you're coming.
Speaking of which, can we talk about my remote that I'm doing right now?
Yeah, talk about your surroundings.
I'm in a parking lot right now. Actually, I'm actually in a reserved parking spot for patients, for an orthopedist that works underneath my job. 2-hour parking limit in the passenger seat with the lights on and the glow of my computer. So if I get arrested for like some sort of potential, they're going to think I'm hacking the mainframe here. I apologize.
Zloop, are you curious about Phoenix?
Why the passenger seat?
Wait.
Well, dude, the steering wheel gets in my way with the computer, so I have more room here.
Feel free to recline.
You know, he's a physical speaker. He likes to get the arms out and flailing around. Zloop, $210,000 on the golf course Saturday.
And me and Kloop picked the winner, Matsuyama.
I don't even know who won the damn thing.
Yeah,
Hideki, huh?
Do you know who won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I heard.
Okay.
I heard.
That's good.
Yeah.
The Patriots won the
Super
Bowl.
I saw it on the Twitter.
By 6.
So you had the flyer on Matsuyama.
Well, we just had him in our pool.
You didn't have an actual future.
No.
Okay. But I was starting to worry there for a second.
We missed the first three cuts and then picked the winner.
And then just nailed the winner.
And nailed it.
Yeah, good day on 16. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you tell us about the scene a little bit?
The scene is insane, Kloop. It is, so they set the record on Saturday. Every year they set the record. 210,000 on the golf course. It's like Arizona State meets The Hunt meets a golf tournament. It's wild.
Where were you watching?
On 16.
Like in the bleachers?
Yeah, there are boxes surrounding 16.
And were you in a box?
And I was in a box. Nice. So we sat on 16 the whole day. If you're on the ground, it is mayhem. It is mayhem all over the golf course. It's crazy. But it's, yeah, what a joy.
Who do people cheer the loudest for? Hideki?
You know, it's the normal guys. They love Phil. Yeah. They love Ricky.
Jordan.
They love Jordan. Yeah.
I saw John Rahm put the Rombo jersey on.
ASU. Oh, he threw the Rombo on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so certain guys firing him up. You know, it's very unique. And then, Kloop, I watched the Super Bowl and then hit the red eye.
Where did you watch the Super Bowl?
I was at my friend's house in Scottsdale.
Did you go to the golf Sunday?
No, we didn't go to the golf Sunday. So, Kloop, I mean, I was out of it. We'll get into it more, but I was really tuned out for a lot of that first half. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it in two different places, so it's funny because the first half, complete blowout, and second half, we all know what happened. So, looking forward to talking about it. I know Zach's got a lot to say about the playoff rules, so can't wait to hear about it.
Sloop's got a lot about a lot. So, John out in San Francisco, this is for you. Big tease, little housekeeping. Let's do Super Bowl. Kloop, the ball kid, the youngest ball out in L.A., dropping 92.
LaMelo.
Zach has got a lot.
He's a fraud.
Dude, Zach has got insider info on this
They're
kid.
All frauds,
Zach,
except Lonzo.
Zach is going to expose LaMelo Ball in headlines today.
Yeah, LaMelo fraud.
Total fraud. Speaking of Phil, you're going to have something about Phil Jackson, I imagine.
Yeah, another fraud.
Yeah, that is true. Another fraud.
He's back on Twitter.
He went after our boy.
Can I say this about the Super Bowl?
Go ahead.
Donald Trump screwed us.
Yeah.
And I'll give you some context. The man has been tweeting. He's been tweeting like a maniac.
Kloop, we're going to talk about prop bets. We're going to get to all of it. You're going to get your chance. Chris, you think I'm happy that Luke Bryan didn't wear a fucking hat?
I just want to say, don't call yourself a populist and then start playing play right into the hands of the sports books. You don't want to be on. You want to be on team society, not team bookie.
I wouldn't have hated if Brian had slowed it down a little bit either.
Oh, I was very pleased that he ended it when he did. And then Kloop, just a couple of your boys back in the headlines, the bad boys of college football, as I like to call them, Sark and Lane, both in the headlines for different reasons. Can't wait to hear what you got about both. You know it's good, Kloop, when the Palm Beach Post is breaking news.
The Bash Brothers of college football. You said it perfectly.
The Bash Brothers. So, plenty. And then 0-100. I mean, I think it's safe to call.
Popular demand.
It's a smash hit. I got some very exciting items on my list. I don't know about you.
All right, let's get into all this.
All right, here we go.
Next.
All right. More in the loop after this from Barracuda.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Network's advanced firewall solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or Barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
All right, Zloop, Super Bowl. In terms of topics you'd want to discuss, I imagine overtime rules would be chief among them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was also a great game.
Good game.
Very good game.
Flawed.
25-point comeback.
Flawed framing.
Yeah, it's the worst rule in sports.
Talk about what?
Both teams deserve the chance to get the ball, no matter what. Like, I don't think there's any person on Earth who would be upset if they just played a full quarter in the Super Bowl. Like, I understand in the regular season, that's fine. But once it gets to the playoffs, there's absolutely, like, you think those guys were too tired to play 15 more minutes and give each team a chance to get the ball? One of the biggest plays in that entire game was the flip of the coin. And it's a joke.
And your boy.
And my boy has gotten fucked twice.
Your boy's gotten fucked.
And now it got exposed to another MVP in the Super Bowl.
Two MVPs.
Yeah.
Don't get to touch the ball.
Yeah.
Kloop, it seems indefensible that you would have a situation in which a flip of the coin would tilt the odds of the game one iota in either direction.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of some way to counter that. There really isn't one. There's not a logical explanation. I guess Zach is right. During the regular season, it makes a lot of sense. Like, you don't want to make the games longer. It's really important to keep the games like flowing in their time slots for the TV.
You got to end those suckers.
And in the playoffs, there is no reason why both teams shouldn't get the ball. I guess in college football, to some extent, the coin flip is important. It gives you a limited advantage to have the ball second because you know whether or not you need to kick a field goal
or
score a touchdown.
Which is fine. If if the coin flip has to give you a little bit of an advantage, strategy-wise, that's okay.
It has a nominal advantage. I was going to ask Zach, I was thinking about this, whether you're able to watch these things, because I know how much you love the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, whether you're able to watch the Super Bowl and think about the rule change and stuff by taking your experience, your post-traumatic stress from the Rodgers thing out of it, and then secondarily, whether you're able to watch the Patriots play without thinking, like, I hope Brady doesn't win, because now my guy is never going to get that consensus greatest of all time.
No, to both.
What'd you say?
No, to both. But it doesn't make a difference. Everyone agrees with me.
No, I know. I'm
Chris,
just asking.
Zach will always stand by the fact that,
like, if the Packers got fucked by a rule that I thought was fair, I wouldn't complain about it as much. I just don't think this rule is fair. Like, I know that, like, if they had played a whole nother quarter, yes, the Patriots probably would have won. But also, if that had been tails, the Falcons would have been the favorites.
Kloop, were you aware immediately of what the narrative was going to be following that game?
Yeah, no, 100%. But I think that the narrative is, like, this. I do want to talk about the game a little bit.
Okay.
I think that because we are so conditioned to the Patriots' greatness that you almost forget how ridiculous it is. This is a team, like, outside of Brady, that does not have... It's not like they're bringing back the same superstar cast every single year. It's not like the NBA where these, like, Curry and Durant and all these guys are going to be on the Warriors for 10 years. Like, they are just they're building this thing again and again, and they just beat everyone at something that should be so difficult, and they make it seem so easy.
So, obviously, the big question on the way out of this Super Bowl was if the Falcons lost a game or if the Patriots won the game. And obviously it's a little both, right, Kloop? I mean, the Falcons run the ball three times. You know, swan dive onto the ground, Marin.
They had the ball on the 22-yard line and managed to punt.
But the Patriots still got to go win the game, Kloop. And you're right. We do underrate Brady's ability in that spot to just get it done throw after throw.
Think about the Giants, right? Okay, being a Giants fan has been really great the last 10 years because we've had two Super Bowl runs. Think about how difficult the rest of the seasons have been outside of those two Super Bowl runs. Mm. Think about how most seasons end in disappointment. 11 out of 15 years of Brady's career, they have gone to at least the AFC title game.
Yeah.
Like, it is so fucking hard to beat these NFL teams year after year, and they do it every single year, and it's like, I don't get the people that hate them because I'm just in awe. And also, Zach, I'd be interested in your take. We're not going to see this again. Not only in NFL, we're not going to see this again in team sports. Team sports are built for competitive balance, and these guys are just defying the odds.
Yeah, I think, I mean, what Belichick has built there is incredible. And to combine that with Brady is incredible. I think some of it has to do with, like, their division being really bad. Mostly every year, but I mean that's the one knock.
It is very helpful
what they've done. I mean,
isn't it?
I think that we have the best quarterback, and I've only had one Super Bowl since 1996. So that shows you how hard it is to win it all.
So Zloop, we raised this after the college football championship game, but now you look back at these title games we've had. Yeah. People are talking about this as the greatest Super Bowl ever played.
Yeah,
and that's a legitimate argument. The same was said about the college football championship game. I think that's completely legitimate. Same was said about the college basketball national title game. I think that's almost indisputable.
World Series Game 7.
NBA Finals Game 7.
Yeah.
Chris, we are on a fucking run here of title games that will all go down in history.
I agree with you. To me, you know, thinking about, because I obviously thought about this too, like, which is the best. That's kind of a stupid argument because they're all so great in their own
way. It's hard,
but
the fact that we're raising it time and time and time, it's wild.
I thought the college football championship to me was more, it was a more dramatic thing because of how hard it is to get to the college football championship and the fact that it was a rematch. To me, it just had more to it.
And the totality of the game. This first half kind of sucked. You know, I understand people taking issue with calling it the greatest game because the first half was really kind of boring. Right. And that college football title game from tape to tape was incredible.
I think a lot of times in sports, people get really carried away. Like, well, this is the greatest we've ever seen. This guy's the greatest we've ever seen. The games you just mentioned, they are historic. Like, there's just no way you can say we're being prisoners of the moment. We are going to be looking back and yearning for the days where we got, like, I feel like we're going toward a run of shitty title games, which is unfortunate.
We're due. We are absolutely.
I think that this one was the best. Like, when you were watching this game, you were like, this team is actually collapsing in front of our eyes. And then you were also looking from the other side, like, oh my God, they're really doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I think, yeah, it was the best Super Bowl. Best quarterback, best coach.
Was there any doubt in your mind, Zach, that they were going to get that two-point conversion? I mean, like, I didn't even...
I think they would have gotten 25 straight two-point conversions.
I think,
literally... They should go for it every time. Gostkowski can't make a kick.
I didn't feel, like, one nerve for them. In that play.
No.
I want to ask you about prop bets. Where were you successful, Sloop?
No success.
There was zero success?
Tails. That was my lock. Kloop, it hit.
Kloop, the running bet, Zach.
Wait, so I told you about my tails bet.
Yes.
So I have a $50 bet.
Every year on the year with a listener.
Yep. So he gives me the 50 after it's tails. Then without speaking at all, it goes heads in overtime, and he wants 50 for me.
Kloop, can you believe this?
Well, knowing the counterpart, it's not.
And then his reasoning was you would have taken the action, and I said, "Yeah, maybe I would have, but
the fact that you
can't bet me not knowing I'm not betting,
dude. You get shot in certain parts of Connecticut for a move like that."
Yeah.
Kloop, I hit the under. Luke finished up just in time. Hit the under. I don't know why I thought he was going to be wearing a hat. Clearly, he's not a hat guy. Someone steered me wrong on that one. Pushed on Gaga. Thought it was going to be Poker Face. She started with America the Beautiful or something, yeah. So it was other. No Gatorade involved, Kloop. No liquid. Very dry.
But apparently it was blue on the bench,
Blue?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know
and
that.
And then the game, I had Falcons.
So
in the
Belichick
other.
Didn't want the shower, Kloop.
Well, no. It was so much chaos because of the review of the play, the final play. Everybody's already on the field. There was a cool video after the play where Amendola is running around. People were like hugging him, and he's like, get off me. Like, he's like asking Brady, he's like, is it over?
Yeah.
And then Belichick finally comes and hugs him, and he tells him to stop, and Belichick's like, no, they reviewed it, and he goes nuts.
Wow. Yeah, that's the culture.
Catch was pretty good too.
I would take that opportunity to form tackle Bill Belichick if I was one of the players, just because I would know how angry. Same thing with Saban. You got to take your chances to celebrate with him because it's never going to happen again.
I wanted to ask you guys also about, like, how far and out of control the Goodell trolling has gotten. Like, Gronkowski last night, the best tight end in football, literally to, like, a mass people, is like, how do we feel about Roger Goodell? Boo!
Dude, their defensive coordinator came off the plane after they won the championship in the clown nose shirt.
Yeah, Amendola's wearing the fire or Goodell hat. Like, it's absurd.
Kloop, it's in another level.
Well, look, it's not entirely surprising. You have, basically, they had a gag order on the Goodell thing all year, but this thing is real. Like, they really do feel like the NFL took an opportunity to take a shot at them.
Singled them out,
and
yeah.
And they have been on their revenge tour, and the Barstool thing certainly doesn't help if you're the NFL and public relations.
But what I was thinking about is, doesn't it help a little bit?
It's
like,
galvanizing.
Isn't this good for football?
I think
Goodell, in a way, is like, yeah, this is like everybody's hating me, but this is good for the
game. I agree with you, dude. Yeah. I think it's a great plot line.
Yeah.
You know?
It really added to it.
And I think it was a galvanizing force for them, you know, whether they'd admit it or not. I think that it was a positive thing in that locker room to be able to, like, have that as your opponent.
Yeah.
Goodell. But, Kloop, I was thinking about the Patricia thing also. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, the clown shirt off the plane is just on another level of disrespect.
And, And they're daring it. Like, the Patriots are basically, they're giving Goodell the middle finger. And, and they're saying, please try to punish us for doing this, because then everyone will even hate you more if that's possible.
Yeah, like, how far is this, like, how long are they going to be able to do this for before, like...
just, like, openly mock and ridicule them.
Yeah, seriously.
I have 2 words. Forever. Yeah. These are massholes, okay? They don't quit.
The massholes do not let a grudge die.
I would not have wanted to be anywhere near Boston yesterday.
Zloop, was the contentiousness post-game with the hand... We got a couple curt handshakes. Kraft didn't exactly look him in the eye. Kraft did a little more with his speech than I thought he
Kraft
would.
Kraft took some shots.
It was a little more than you thought it would be, too,
Kraft,
right?
Yeah,
I mean... Goodell disappears off the stage. I guess it kind of lived up to it.
Yeah, I think it was more of a story during the parade.
Yeah.
Because after the game, it was just so much excitement, and it was like...
And Kloop, the commercial, of course.
That's weird. You know what's weird to me is that Brady did that commercial...
In September.
Two things. One is... If he does that commercial and they don't win, it's leaking. That thing is leaking.
There must have been, I was thinking, like an ironclad contract, though. Like, if it leaked, he would have their head on a
non-disclosure.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Another thing is that I don't know if I love... People are like, well, look at Brady, stand-up guy. He doesn't show Goodell up on the stage. But he does do the commercial. To me, I would actually appreciate it more if he said, like, look, guy, I'm not shaking your hand because you tried to screw me. What if he did that? I think people would have loved him.
Yeah,
for
I would
it.
Have loved it.
Chris, the massholes would have loved anything that he did in that. The stoolies, the massholes, anything that he did in that moment, they would have loved. But I agree with you. He is kind of having to try his, trying to eat his cake. And have it like he's trying to play both sides. It seemed like that all along almost.
He can do whatever he wants, dude. It's over now. Brady's world.
Can we get to the headline that I'm desperate to talk about?
Yeah,
please?
Zach.
I mean, the Super Bowl is great and everything. Can we talk about Zach's guy, LaMelo Ball?
LaMelo
Ball. It's LaMelo, but...
Chris, I don't think it's LaMelo.
Only one E. But...
All right, so...
The kid's a fraud.
It's not a soft E.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they call him Mello.
It's... So, Zloop.
The kid is a fraud.
He scores 92.
32 minutes.
He
41 this, in the fourth quarter.
All this after he goes viral for the half-court pull-up.
Right.
First play of the game, which Chris Zach says he has missed more than he's made this year in terms of half-court shots.
That's not surprising, by the way. That's a hard shot.
All right, so Zach, 92 and 32.
Coach is a dick.
Why is it a fraud?
They play 4-on-5 on defense. Their goal is to do this, like, to make headlines. He sits in the backcourt. They try to go for a steal immediately. If they get a rebound or the inbound, they launch it down the court for him for the layup. They were fouling in the fourth quarter with the lead to get the ball back for him.
Kloop, sounds like what King used to do for you.
I have two questions and then one comment, okay?
Okay. This isn't the White House briefing room, but proceed.
Because I watched some of the highlights. The first question is, did the other team, like, wouldn't it make more sense for the other team to just play four guys on offense and have one guy cover him?
That's something to think about. Yeah,
Blue.
I like that. Or no offense. Troll.
Or just go 0-on-5.
Circle him.
I really like that, too. Kloop. All right, what's your next question?
After he scored 70, did they think, okay, this strategy, our defensive strategy isn't working? That's one question. The second one is it fun to play on that team with him if your only job is to rebound and launch it down court?
Okay, no, A. And B, I was thinking, like, is it even fun for him? Don't you feel like a dick? Like,
he took 67 shots.
Like, I would
in 32 minutes.
It's uncomfortable for me to watch, knowing, like, what's going on with everybody on the court. Like,
it's hard to get through the whole highlight. Yeah.
Who's, like, except his dad, who's apparently the biggest hardo in the West.
Yeah, Kloop. Dad is apparently a nut job.
And another interesting thing is this is usually the job of his older brother, LiAngelo, who's a senior, but he's hurt right now.
He's usually the guy that's leaking.
LiAngelo, usually leaks.
And then... And then LaMelo just plays normal?
I don't know. He probably doesn't play. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't.
You need defenders and you need LiAngelo.
Kloof, what do you think about the balls in general? They're all going to UCLA. It's, I don't know. I think I'm out on them.
Lonzo Ball is a stud. He's going to be the either first or second pick in the draft. His little brother, Lorenzo, is supposedly a stud. He's going to UCLA. The dad, this is kind of like a almost a Williams sisters type situation. The dad's like been raising them forever to be basketball studs, and they are, so good for UCLA. The comment that I was going to make is that Vivek Ramadive, who runs the Kings, he owns the Kings.
Mm-hmm. Your boy.
This guy's a genius.
He saw somebody do this in his daughter's YMCA league where they, like, let one person hang back and just launch it over everyone's head for layups. And he tried to convince the Kings coach to try this in the NBA, which would have been such a joy.
That would have been incredible. And for a guy who loves League Pass as much as you do, I think you would have loved to see it.
DeMarcus Cousins rebounds and just launches it to Nick Stauskas like 48 times a game for layups.
So, Zloop, if Lonzo stayed 1 year, there could be trip balls.
No, he would have to stay until his senior year.
But then they could get three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently the other two aren't as good.
Not as good as Lonzo.
From what I've heard from people that watched them all play in high school is that everybody knew that Lonzo was like a once-in-a-generation passer and that the other two don't have that.
Kloop, Zloop says the kid from Washington is better than Lonzo. He'd take him hands down, number one.
I just haven't watched him. I haven't watched him enough to say either way. I've watched Lonzo a lot, and I love him.
I mean, I don't think it's clear-cut, but I think if I was pretty blown away the two games I watched Fultz play.
That's exciting to be a Celtics fan, and it sucks to be a Knicks fan, which takes us to our next
topic. Oh, I love it when you do that, Kloop. All right. So, what Phil Jackson's reading Bleacher Report? Like, what's going on here?
All right, so here's the thing. I'm going to ask you guys this. Do you think Phil thinks that this – do you think he's just trying to troll Melo as hard as humanly possible because he thinks that will get him to, like, accept the trade?
Yeah, well, A, to answer your question, I think that he must have leaked the story to Bleacher Report and then, like, tried to get cute and circle around and be like, they were really right.
Oh.
And B, I think he's either A, trying to get himself fired so he gets paid, or B, chafe Melo as much as possible so he accepts a trade.
But according to Woj from Yahoo, it's having the reverse effect. Melo is now hardened to stay.
That's what would happen to me.
I think if Phil was smart, that's what he would have anticipated.
So now you have Melo. Melo has all the leverage in this situation because he has a full no-trade clause, which Phil gave him. So now Phil has pissed him off to the point where he won't accept the deal. And Woj said all Phil had to do was sit down with Melo and his reps and be like, these are the trade opportunities. Which one do you want the most? Which is a respectful thing to do. He's instead gone around him in the media and ripped him. And now Melo's like, fuck you. I'm going to stay here as long as I can. And the secondary effect of this is, what free agents want to come to New York now?
Yeah.
Why the hell would you want to come
here? Yeah, when the president's ripping your best player. And also, like, at some point, doesn't the owner have to step in and be like,
enough.
Try to patch it up between the president and the star?
Enough.
Yeah.
It's a clown show, Clue.
If there was a competent owner who didn't want to, you know, play the band the whole day,
Porzingis must be like, this sucks.
Porzingis, I bet, doesn't fully understand the politicking or, like, the nature of this back and forth. I bet it is so foreign to him and strange to watch this all unfold.
Well, it's foreign to Phil Jackson because it's the first time in his career that he hasn't had the power. All the leverage is with Melo. He has a no-trade clause. He can stay here. He can veto any deal. Mm. And Phil is handling it like a little kid. So it's really frustrating. And as a Knicks fan, I've talked to Zach about this. I've been watching all the League Pass while I've been living at home. I watch all these different teams, and I'm always feeling like, this team's awesome. I wish this was my team. And there's so many more teams that have hope that are fun to watch. The Knicks are just a dumpster fire year after year.
Yeah, Phil Jackson hasn't done anything positive for the Knicks, besides draft Porzingis.
But at what point do I get to just change? Can I just be a fan of someone else?
Sure. Who do you want?
Dude, go.
Can I just be a fan of the Nuggets, please, or something, anything?
So do you think there's an element of grass is always greener there, or do you really think every team in the NBA is more fun than the Knicks?
I don't know if it's every team, but it's
close, dude.
It's close.
The Knicks suck, and their players aren't likable except Porzingis.
at least the Philadelphia 76ers have Joel Embiid, and they have draft picks, and they have a future. It's we have an aging star and Brandon Jennings, and at least we have Mundungus. But,
your
you
boys,
know.
Loop. So, Zach, where do your Cavs figure into all this?
Well, they came out that LeBron wanted Melo for love.
Right.
Which he said isn't true.
Right.
So I think that the only way that the Cavs would get Melo is if they somehow could do it without giving up love.
Because
I don't think they're willing right now to add by subtracting, which is what apparently would have to happen.
Yeah.
And just giving up love to get Melo for them makes no sense.
Doesn't.
No.
Especially after the miracle pass.
Melo does what LeBron does, just not as well.
Yeah. Cloop?
I would, just for one last thing, I think we could do something where you guys make me, you guys can choose. The audience can choose. Anyone can choose. Give me any other team, and I'll be a fan.
Nets.
Be a Royal fan.
Nets.
Oh, no.
Congratulations, Cliff. You're a Brooklyn Nets fan. All right, moving on to the bad boys of college football. Cliff.
I'm going to get my Lopez jersey tomorrow.
Yeah. Cliff. Which headline are you enjoying more, Sark to the Falcons or scandalous rumors about your boy Kiffin down in Florida?
That's very easy. Obviously, it's about my boy, scandalous rumors. I just want to make sure everyone knows, give them some context. The website is called mypalmbeachpost.com.
Oh, what did I say before? Did I say Palm Beach Post? I forget. I might have miscited.
Yeah.
My Palm Beach Post. Anyways, very reputable source, great news organization, and they have the scoop on this one.
It's not fake news.
Kiffin,
this is not fake
attending,
news.
Alex? What was he attending? A club opening?
Yeah, it was some social function.
Yeah,
something down there.
College chicks, bottles.
Exactly. And he's making himself at home. Tonight. Yeah, go ahead.
So the question is, is this a problem? Like, if you're a single man and coaching the FAU Owls down in Boca, can you hit the town? I mean, is that all right?
Kloop, I've always wondered this because, yes, it is frowned upon.
I don't like it.
I like it to an extent, but I'd
be mad if that was my coach.
Right. You want your coach on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. I mean, like, he can't be out partying with the girls that go to the school he
can't
goes
be at. Fooling around with the sophomores, Kloop.
No. I mean, if he wants to get on, you know, Tinder, get him over.
Sure.
Know, that's all right.
Sure. Set up the fake account, Kloop. Yeah, you know about that. But you don't want to just make a habit of this, I think.
I'm just envisioning a Tinder profile with, like, different shots of him on the sideline.
Yeah.
With, like, his clipboard and, like, his headset and stuff.
One Raiders pick, one SC pick.
Dude, it's just such an easy thing for people to point at if he starts to fail.
Yeah. Dude, everyone is ready to jump down Lane's throat at a moment's notice.
And, yeah, they haven't even played a game yet.
So, what do you think?
You guys know I'm a Lane apologist.
You're a loyalist. Yeah.
All right, so the question is, do you think that there's a better chance Lane has a head job or comes crawling back to Saban and demanding his old OC gig in the next couple of years? What's more likely?
So, a week ago, and you put them up to next to each other, Sark and Lane? I think Lane, like, no question. But then the Falcons, this team that went to the NFC Championship game, hires Sark, and I don't know what to think. Like, this is a guy I thought was a meltdown.
I don't think...
6 months ago, and then Saban hires him, then the Falcons hire him. Maybe Sark's a genius. I don't know what's happening.
But Kiffin, I don't think really either. I don't think he's going to... I don't see him coming ahead, getting a big-time job, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I wonder with Sark. You know, people say that it's a lot easier, that college offense, I heard someone say yesterday, I think it was Dilfer, he said college offense is all about giving people the smallest amount of information to digest and go as fast as possible. And the NFL offense is literally the opposite, where you're doing calculus-level stuff. So it's going to be a transition. We'll see. I thought it would have been a great spot for Sark to be the OC at Bama. Apparently, there were just huge philosophical differences between him and Saban. And maybe Saban is just impossible to work for, and that makes you wonder who's going to want that gig going forward.
Yeah, but isn't this a better job?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This guy hit the jackpot.
Oh, it's like not a lateral move.
But it's a huge amount of pressure. You just got the keys to the Ferrari, and they're asked not to crash it.
Yeah.
So if they struggle, his head's on the chopping block right away, and he's following up a guy in Kyle Shanahan who people think is a genius. So
Shanny,
this guy must really be able to interview, or must have some really good friends, because
little both.
He got the Bama job. He goes 0-1. And then he gets the best offense in the world.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, as Zach said, it's very hard to go 0-1 at Bama.
Yeah, 0-1. Winless at Bama is tough.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cliff, should we rate some stuff?
I think we got to go 0-100.
You want to rate a couple things 0-100? Let's do it. All right.
We got to get some theme music for 0-100, huh? We got to get something good. I'm thinking that Drake song would probably make some sense.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Cliff.
You got to get the rights.
You just stumbled into something. No, we'll get the rights.
Okay.
John, buy the rights.
All right, guys, ready?
Right,
you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
I've got leading off, I've got rate 0-100, taking a bath.
Do you go first or do it?
Oh, man. You got to go first. You throw it out there, you go first.
Cool.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah,
I'm going to give it a, strong 68.
Oh my, that seems low.
Well, I'll tell you why. There's a lot that goes into the bat, and it's easy to screw up. Not a lot of, like a lot of the drain sometimes don't work, and you get all excited to take a bath, and then it's a thing. And then the water cools down sometimes too fast. So those are the chafes, but when you're in there, and it's warm, and the bubbles are gone, man, there is nothing like it. There is nothing like it.
I see what you're saying, though, about the process.
Yeah.
You got to run the bath.
You got to get the temperature right.
Yeah,
that's always kind of tricky.
Right.
You know,
but
you're standing
in there,
it's kind of
hot.
Pretty
special.
Yeah. If you've got a good one going.
Yeah, good temp.
In like
yeah.
a clean tub, too.
Oh,
which
you can
lie in
there for days.
We haven't seen in years.
No.
But I can imagine what one would be
I
like.
I took a bath in my apartment, Club. You remember that?
I was going to say, Zach in our apartment, it was a Sunday night.
Oh, that
we
is
had that situation like... We didn't have a real drain in our apartment, so Zach stuffed the drain with washcloths, and so like the
That's
water
smart.
Drains. So the water would drain slowly, but slowly enough that he could keep like some semblance of a bath.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds very nice. So.
And I just heard him rolling around in there, just having a bath.
Yeah, that was a good night for me.
So was that a good bath for you? Like on the scale of baths?
I don't know. Bathing in mist isn't always, you know,
you
want.
It's more of an outdoor.
I'm
going to
go with like 78.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to put it a little higher. I'm going to put it at 82 taking a bath.
Baths.
I love a good soak.
Dude, you know what's good?
I love a good soak.
You know what's nice,
you know
too? You get in the bath and then you put the shower head on when you're in the bath.
Oh, Zach. You learned that from someone. It's me. Okay.
Wow.
All right. You want to go next or should I?
Hey, you're talking about a guy who loves warm water, so, yeah.
You go next.
All right. Kloop, I'm going to go lighting something on fire. And, you know, I had a little pyro streak back in the day.
I love it.
You know, I could watch something burn, sure, as much as the next guy. So, I'm going to give lighting something on fire... A 74.
90 for me.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Wow, an 8 minus.
You go to that, you're in middle school, you go to the store, you get a lighter, and you just go crazy.
And you just let it rip.
Yeah.
Kloop, you ever
make yourself a little Molotov cocktail or something?
You ever get involved with a little flame back in the day, Kloop?
Yeah, not into lighting stuff on fire. I'm going to go with the 47. Not into it.
You're not a fire guy.
Unsafe.
Kind of
downside.
Unsafe. All right, Clover, you're up.
No, I'm up.
Oh, Zach.
I'm gonna go Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm gonna go high. Because he's my favorite. And he's beautiful. 95.
Wow.
Yeah, he's my favorite president. He's gorgeous.
I mean, he's in everyone's top three.
Yeah.
He freed the slaves.
That was huge.
The Emancipation Proclamation.
Big.
Everyone knows the rest.
Yeah.
It's all history. You can go, you can read about it. You can see the hat, the beard, the whole nine. Zach, I think Abraham Lincoln is a 95 character.
Wow.
In the story that is America.
Kloop,
I know you're not a huge Lincoln guy, more of a Kennedy guy yourself, but where are you going with Abe?
Yeah, interesting story about Lincoln. yet. Lincoln wasn't even really in play for the nomination when he was elected president. It was lucky happenstance that the Republican convention that year was in Illinois, in his home state. So basically,
so what's your grade? Give us a fucking number now.
I'm telling a story. I'm telling a Lincoln story. There was like a three-way tie, and when people outside the state found out Lincoln was president, they didn't even know who the hell he was. I mean, this is a guy who came out of nowhere. Now he's on the penny.
What, like 88?
Look. You're talking about an
all-timer.
I'm
going to
go 92.
Okay.
All right, 92 pretty, for honesty.
That might be our best communal grid. So
and
far.
A little meaningless anecdote about the RNC of 1864. All right, Kloop, you're up.
I have doing errands.
Okay. Vague, now, but I understand.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, it's vague, but people understand it. You got to go, you know, you got to do something.
You got to go pick up the laundry. You got to go get the haircut. You got to hit the dentist.
You got to do something that otherwise goes outside the straight line that is your day.
I hate everything that falls into that column.
I want to say zero.
All of it. If zero... Right, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I love it. I love them. I like them.
God, you're a psycho.
There's something wrong with you.
I'm going to go with a 72, and it's better when you're not in the city. You're driving around, you get a coffee, you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, you go to the grocery store. It's a nice morning.
Dude, not everybody gets to live in the suburbs. Not everybody has the income that you get.
What is happening?
So you're cruising around in your luxury car, you're stopping off at high-end, you know, grocery stores.
Trader Joe's, yeah. Cinderella, wherever the hell you're going.
I'm in the city.
Went to Trader Joe's today. All right, boys, it was a dream.
So what was your grade? Did you grade it?
Yeah, I didn't hear a number.
I gave it a 72.
72. You know, you got Zloop out here. He's still kicking around Meast, you know, trying to scrape two pennies together.
Slothing around.
He's at the Amish deli.
The doorman says, today, you're going to need an umbrella today. I'm like, I don't have an umbrella.
Yeah,
buddy,
it's going to snow a foot tomorrow, pal.
I'm going to give it a 12.
Yeah, I'm going to give it.
I hate it.
I'm going to give it a 17, slightly above Zach. Man, do I hate him.
Anything in my life...
Scheduled.
I have to do enough.
Right. Anything extemporaneous that you have to do that really doesn't like play into the bigger picture.
Yeah,
you know,
like I had to get a new toothbrush, and that really pissed me off.
God, that probably ruined your day.
It did. I was thinking about it all day.
Am I up? Can we move on to something pleasurable? Mm-hmm. Kloop always goes low. I mean, can we have a little fun here on ITL?
I thought that was good, Kloop.
Kloop, I'm going to go with... Got a lot of options here. Kloop, I'm going to go with Joe Buck, polarizing figure, voice of the Super Bowl.
I love him.
And
the World Series.
And the World Series and the U.S. Open. The guy's versatile. He's honest. I've never really understood the hatred surrounding Joe Buck. I've always kind of liked him as an announcer. I'm going to give Joe Buck an 80, Kloop.
Joe Buck, I mean, he's called a lot of great things. He's got a weird personal story, some weird stuff out there, which I really like. I don't know. He's right down the middle for me. He's a 70. He's a solid 70.
Kloop?
But he doesn't have the panache of a, you know...
Of a Jim Nance, for instance.
Great comparison. He's no Jim Nance.
I'm going to go 86. I like him.
You like him.
I think he's great at baseball.
I mean, he calls every great baseball game. Announcer. How could you not love him?
I think
every
he's better
fucking game at Lambeau.
Dude,
calls.
Can I go? It's my turn.
I'm sorry. I'm just going.
He's better at baseball than he is at football. It's impressive that one guy does the World Series and the Super Bowl. I like him.
Seems like we're all in agreement on Joey Buck. All right, Zloop.
All right, I'm going to give you two guys here because I want to know where they stand against each other because they're similar and they're both actors and they're both attractive.
Very good. You did Schwimmer last week.
I did Schwimmer last week. These are two guys that I think you both like a lot because I do too. Kevin Costner.
Jesus.
Dennis Quaid.
Holy shit.
And I'm going to go 91 for Costner because he's the greatest sports actor of all time. And I'm going to go 83 for Quaid.
Kloop, you want to go next? I mean, these are two guys who you know and love.
If those two were with me on a desert island and I had to figure out which one to kill, I'd kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not think twice. Close your car door? We're trying to wrap up a podcast, and I hear a beep.
Oh, yeah, no, we're good here, bud. I started driving, so.
All right, you got Costner, you got Quaid.
I'm going to go ahead and look, as an actor, Costner's is just head and shoulders above Quaid.
Are we in the minority in thinking that or no?
No, that's universal.
No.
Okay.
No, what is Quaid done?
You're right. I mean, the Parent Trap.
I'm going to give Costner a 93. I'm going to give Dennis 74.
Yeah.
I don't think
his role. Wait, his role in the Parent Trap. Unbelievable work.
Unbelievable. What a film.
Heck of a film. Took me a while to wrap my head around the idea that they weren't twins.
Okay.
I can imagine that would be hard for you.
It was tough enough for you to realize today was Wednesday.
That was tricky as well.
Okay.
I don't think Quaid's in the same ballpark as Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Costner's a 94. Quaid is a 69. And it's as simple as that. And, Kloop, I'm going to do Seamless. Little app I like to use.
Dude, I had the same one.
No.
I swear to God.
Wow.
Well, I love it. If I didn't have it, I wouldn't eat, so I'd die. So that figures into it as well. I think Seamless. God, did I just give Costner what, a 94?
Yeah.
Then Seamless has to be a 96.
Wow.
No, it's not. No, it's not a 96. Can I retract that?
Yes.
Seamless is an 89.
Okay. What I'll say about your Seamless use is it's very impressive. How many times you fail?
I screw it up, luck.
I would say your success rate, honestly, with Seamless is like 65%.
It's about 2 out of 3.
And I would think everybody else in the world is probably around a 99. The amount of times that you get a phone call telling where the guy's like, I'm downtown and you're uptown.
Yeah, I'm in Meese.
You were telling
He's
me today
Chelsea,
about some
I'm
problem you have where you order and the restaurant's closed and they bring it the next day, which I've never heard of.
Kloop, this is a problem I've been running into lately.
Well, I was at one of our buddy's places the other morning, and you ordered us a lovely platter of French toast.
You never know. Really, you never know when you're going to wind up with a meal of mine. But what Seamless has been doing lately is when you place an order, they won't tell you if the place is closed. They will just schedule the order for the next available time that the restaurant is open. So it has happened on a number of occasions where I thought the restaurant was open. I place the order. It doesn't come. I go to work the next day, and I get a call at noon telling me my food has arrived.
This is, again, also, I think, a thing that only happens to you. I'm going to give it an 88, though. I love it.
All that being said, Kloop.
It's no longer a part of my life, and I really miss it. I'm going to go 82.
Kloop, take us home.
Do you want me to do one more?
Wait, no, I have one more.
I'm done.
All right, Kloop.
All right, locker rooms.
Like at the gym?
I don't.
Yes, a public locker room.
I don't like them, Kloop.
He doesn't like them.
I love them.
I know you do.
Believe me. You love errands. You love locker. I'm
you
not
love the
surprised.
Common cold. You hate HBO.
God, look, you're just
I
a
like
freak.
I like errands. I like locker rooms. I like Abe Lincoln, and I don't like setting things on fire. It's insane. I'm gonna give locker rooms a solid 70. I'm gonna give them a 65. You see some things that you don't need to see. But on
does that add to your grade or subtract?
I don't know. It's a place where a guy can be a guy, and I like a place where a guy can be a guy.
I'm gonna give it a 50, right down the middle. It's there. It serves a purpose. I don't like it. I don't dislike it.
I'm going 45. I'm uncomfortable. I'm trying to get out of there as quickly as I can. It's a part of the experience I don't enjoy.
All right, not a locker room guy from Alex. Just know that, lady.
Kloop, that's...
What's he hiding? What's he hiding? That's all I'm asking.
Kloop,
what's he hiding that he doesn't like the locker room?
I'll reveal it next week on In the Loop.